because there are some folks here that were not here when I began this message on infecting.
Oh, hey, I have some prayer requests too.
Sam gets home Sunday. We don't know if it'll be in time for services, but he gets home Sunday. Paul Scott is leaving tomorrow, the 22nd, for Vietnam. He is traveling alone, meaning Lucy is not going with him, but he'll meet up with Vietnamese leaders, and he'll be doing teaching in several different locations over there. I have prayer request for a lady that I know from Shingle House. She is not from the Shingle House Church. I don't know if she claims a church. Irmgard, she's German. Irmgard Leade, okay? And she needs salvation. That's the first thing. She needs salvation. She's in the Olean General Hospital and has started kidney dialysis, and she's had heart failure. And so she's got some serious issues. Always before when I would talk with her, minimal interest and just push it off. Yesterday when I did visit, I got more attention than ever. And I was about ready to get down to brass tacks, as we call it. And a nurse came in, and then a friend came in. So I went back today, and I have to believe that it just, the Lord's telling me it's not the timing, because Pat and I prayed hard that there wouldn't be anybody else there. And I wasn't there 3 minutes. And a friend came in, and then not long after, a nurse came in, and I thought, well, I'll just stand here and wait. I'm going to sit here and wait out the friend till the friend goes. Then the friend who was standing went and got a chair and sat down. And I thought, well, I guess I'm not going to wait her out. And so, but I'd appreciate, and she asked me to have you pray for her.
Amen.
Irmgard Leade, and just that the Lord would open up her heart. And Peter, let's keep praying for Peter. Does anybody know, is he gone to Japan yet?
Still in California.
Okay, let's keep praying for him. Jeremiah and Jamie Edwards. Hannah Perkins, let's keep praying for her and the pregnancy. New Hudson Fire Company. Doug Wise is at home. Anything changed with him? Pardon? He is progressing. Good. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Hannah Bennett is going back to South Africa. She leaves on the 28th to go back to South Africa. She'll send a regular prayer letter with more information when she gets there. Today's extended mission family is Jody and Ginger Hodnett in Scotland. And then from our mission family, we have Gary and Jan Sauer, athletes in action at Brockton. Now remember, they're getting ready to start college. I mean, they're gearing up quick. And he's going to work, he send out an email, he's going to work in three different areas trying to get teamwork going with the different teams. Yes, Jody. I have not heard anything about that. Have you heard anything, Tanya? Okay.
They have not gotten almost any positive response.
Okay. Then maybe the Lord's direction for them to come home. Can't understand that necessarily, but the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. Now, 2 weeks ago I began a message called Effective Christian Fathers. Because there are some here tonight who weren't here when I began it, I'm going to read this story that I began the message with, called The Prodigal Father. And it's about a father, but it's a takeoff on the prodigal son. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of thy time and thy attention and thy companionship and thy counsel and guidance which falleth to me. And he, the father, divided unto them his living, in that he paid the boys' bills and sent them to select schools and camps for sports, off to college, and he tried to believe that what he was doing was his duty. Not many days after, the father gathered all of his interests and aspirations and ambitions and took his journey into a far country, into the land of stocks and bonds. He traveled. He had horses and hobbies and many other things that do not interest a boy. And there he wasted his precious opportunities of being a friend to his son. When he had spent the very best of his life and had gained money, but had failed to find satisfaction, there arose a mighty famine in his heart, and he began to be in want of some sympathy and real companionship. And he went and joined himself to one of those clubs of that country, and they elected him as chairman of the house and president of the club, and even sent him to legislatures. And he fain would have satisfied himself with the husks that other men did eat, and no man gave unto him real friendship. But when he came to himself, he said, how many men that I know have boys whom they understand and who talk about their boys and associates with their boys and seem happy in the relationships with their sons, and I perish with heart hunger. I will arise and go to my son and say unto him, son, I have sinned against you in all heaven, and am no more worthy to be called thy father. Make me as one of thine acquaintances. And he arose and came to his son. But while he was yet a ways off, his son saw him and was moved with astonishment, but he did not run to fall on his neck. He drew back and was ill at ease in the presence of his father. The father said unto him, son, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am not worthy to be called thy father. I have not done my duty unto thee. Forgive me now, and let me be a friend. But the son said, not so. I wish it were possible, but it is too late. There was a time when I wanted to know things, when I needed companionship and advice and counsel, but you were too busy. I got the information and I got the companionship, but I got the wrong kind. And now, alas, I have wrecked and destroyed my soul and body, and there is nothing you can do for me. Also, last week, I stated that by God's mercy and by God's grace, not all prodigal fathers end this way, but sadly, so many do. Parental authority is no excuse for unscriptural actions as a parent. Amen. So too many parents feel that because they're the parent, they're the authority, they can demand from their children and can run roughshod, as it were, though it's not considered that, but they nevertheless can run roughshod over the child's feelings and considerations. It's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 4. I read this last week. It's a very classic passage. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now when it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, we see that there's a negative thing there. the provoking to wrath. The positive part of the verse is said in bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians, in the book of Colossians, where Paul repeats the same advice, so it lets us know that in at least two of the cities that he dealt, this was an issue with the fathers. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In two cities, this is not something unique to the 20th or the 21st century. It existed back in the beginning of the church. Why? Because all Christian men have an old nature. And when the Apostle Paul says we are to yield ourselves to the new nature, this is why he says that. Because when we do not yield to the new nature, the old nature will act.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Not might act. Will act. It will act.
That's right.
Resentment and rebellion develop in a child. Not because of deserved punishment, but because of provoking. I have wondered many times through the years, 47 years in pastoring, now 6 years in retirement. So what is that? 47 and 6 is what, 53? Wow, how about that? I'm a sharp mathematician. You don't know how significant that is. 53 years of observing Christian families. Observing good Christian people. Christian family. Where do I observe them? Why, in the church. That's where. I don't observe them at Aldi's or Tops. I don't observe them at Walmart. And you might wonder, gee, do Christian families go there? Well, you do, don't you? Gotcha, didn't I? And so I observe them in the church. Good Christians. Good Christian families. Then we hear about their children. We see them. We saw them grow up. We saw them grow. They came through the Sunday school. They came through our youth groups. When Mrs. Hain and I would take kids to camp, we'd take them to camp. We knew them that way. Then when they were a little older, we'd take them to see colleges. And we'd be with them a whole week, rather intimately. Not in the sense that that often says, but we were just constantly with them. And then 2-3 years out of school, we hear of them. We're still hearing of some. We're still hearing this kind of thing. And I wonder to myself, what happened? What happened? And then Mom reminds me, you listen to this, we don't know what goes on in the home.
That's right.
We don't know what goes on in the home.
Yes, sir.
What kind of language takes place there?
Come on.
I think about people that I know that their kids have not gone right. And let me say this to begin with. Kids have to make their own choices.
Yeah, that's right.
And even with parents that do everything right, there are kids that make the wrong choices.
That's right. Exactly
So please, I am not intending to condemn every Christian parent who has a wayward child. That is not my intention. But it is my intention to get our attention so that this can be avoided, or that at least the parent can say, I did everything I could. But oh, when the parent cannot say that, but regrets what they did do or didn't do, provoking. You know, I looked it up again. Provoking means to irritate, to create resentment, to enrage, to exasperate. Oh my goodness, have I seen kids that have been exasperated with their parents?
Yeah.
Now listen, I understand that any kid that's about 13, 14 years old is certain that they're smarter than their dumb dad. I understand that. But it's how... Dad ought not to show himself dumb by how he handles the kid. Of course Dad knows better. Of course Dad knows. But when Dad doesn't take the time, and this can apply to moms too, when they don't take the time to explain to the kid, just do it because I said so, I'm the father. That's why. All true statements. Bad attitude. Bad attitude. And so to take the time and explain why not, and why to do this. And I know you don't understand, but I am your father, and God has given me the responsibility to oversee you and to lead you and to train you. And I know you don't understand, and someday you might, but that's why you must do this. Okay? So you see, you're saying the same thing. I'm the father. You must do this, but now it's with some explanation. You're explaining the practical reason why we do this, and you're explaining the spiritual reason. God has given me the responsibility to raise you, to train you. I had a girl one time who was exasperated with her father. And we came to understand she had reason to be. And she gave me a book. The title of it was Toxic Parents. And the whole theme of the book was just that. How a parent, father, mother, either or, both, how their way of acting was toxic, infecting, affecting. When it was first given, I thought, oh, you're just looking for excuses. And then I read a little bit of it. And then as time went on, you see, some of these things take time. When time went on, I began to hear about some of the issues that Dad had. Now you listen to me. Every one of you would have received that dad with open arms and amazement at him and his Christian life in the church.
That's right. That's exactly right, Pastor. Yep.
It isn't so much what happens in the church as what happens at home.
That's right.
Now, I don't have time to completely clarify this, So you're just gonna have to remember who's saying it and know where I stand in general. If a child has a godly mother and father who teach them Bible truth at home, they'd be better off. Oh, by the way, the godly mother and father teaching Bible truth at home, they attend the United Methodist Church. They'll be better off than a child who has a mother and a father that attend an independent Baptist church but live at home.
That's
like
right.
Anything
that
but. But
yes, sir.
The way they ought to.
Lord help us. Yep.
Now that's not an encouragement to go to United Methodist Church. But it certainly is a challenge to make right. ourselves as independent Baptists be what we think we are.
That's right. Yes, sir. Lord help us.
Oh my goodness. A father's authority is built on a father's responsibility. But the biblical authority is only biblically effective when that father carries out biblical responsibility.
Come on.
I've heard it said from this pulpit by somebody that was preaching here at times. And I remember first time I heard it was from an evangelist named Leon Foote. He said he would drive by churches that had printed on their signboard a biblical church, a Bible teaching church. That's it. He said he'd see this, a Bible teaching church. But what we need is a Bible living church. If it's a Bible living people, it's obvious they're getting Bible teaching.
Yes, sir.
But just to be so self-righteous because we're a Bible teaching church, but we live like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's not lining up here, right?
No.
Yeah. This lady I visited in the hospital, I challenged her with being born again. And she acknowledged that she'd never been born again. Boy, that was a step of progress.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, well, we're born again Christians.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I have met some people that wouldn't use that term because they have not been taught that term, but they did know Christ as their Savior because they put their faith in His work on the cross to pay the price for their sin, but because they were in a different church, they used different terminology, but they lived godly.
That's right.
They'd make right choices. You know, when I first came to realize that, as an independent Baptist pastor, oh, many years ago. At first, when I realized that, it did rock my socks. Okay, you know what that means? I mean, that just shook me. Because the only ones that were supposed to really be doing right and living right were us independent Baptists. And then God began to show me. You've heard the story, haven't you? It's said as a humor. The fella died and he went up and St. Peter met him at the gates. Okay. Now, that's in the Bible. Don't you know that? That's what some people believe. Anyway, they get to heaven and St. Peter let him in the gates and they're going down these different streets and then they go in this one big building and they're going down the hallway. And on the one side, there's Methodists. And on this side, there's Presbyterians. And on this side, there's Lutherans. And then they're going down through, and St. Peter turns around. He says, shh, shh. And the guy said, why, what? He said, oh, the next room is the Baptists, and they think they're the only ones that are here. Listen, you get to heaven not by what's over the name on the door.
Right.
You get to heaven by what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross. Now, when it comes to church history, church heritage, I am a Baptist. When it comes to teachings, doctrine, I am a Baptist. And I believe our history has the greatest authenticity of what the Bible teaches. But we've got to get over this idea that somehow we think we're it. Because when we have got that idea that we're it, and we're beyond whatever, then very subtly in the back of our mind, we just begin to relax a little. Because after all, we're the Bible believers. I mean, I even got a bigger Bible. So when you see me, you see my Bible even clearer. I did, it got a wide margin, that's why it's bigger. But but we do. We think we're it. And I meet some, I don't get in arguments anymore with them. Because I found out you can win an argument and just like and lose the battle. Or like you can win a battle and lose the war. And when I want to try and bring someone to salvation in Jesus Christ, I don't want to just win an argument. I want to bring them to the Lord. Oh, I remember one fellow, he would argue. He wouldn't even wait for the hat to drop. Okay? And he would argue about smoking. If he was witnessing to somebody and he saw a pack of cigarettes in their pocket, or if he saw the big round tin in the back pocket, okay, he'd take into that. And he may have started out with salvation, but let me tell you, the devil was so successful in getting him off of the track. And I don't know of times when he was asked to come back to those homes or would have even been allowed to go back. We've got to keep our eyes on the goal. So a father must build his evidence, and his love for his children must be evident to the children. And it begins in the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It begins in the heart, and then it continues on the lips. Begins in the heart, continues on the lips, and it's fulfilled in the actions, the attention of the love that started with the heart. Remember last week I said, or last time I said, do things with the child that the child likes to do. Now you need to teach him how to mow lawn. You need to teach him how to paint. You need to teach him how to change the oil in the car. You need to teach him how to wire a switch. You need to teach him everything that you're capable of teaching them. That is our God-given responsibilities. But before that, we're to teach them love. And that's why we need to do things with the kids that the kids like to. Same thing's true for mom with the girls. There's all kinds of things you need to teach them regarding the house and the home. And, you know, I heard this recently. A lot more things are, the guy preaching on Sunday, he's the one who said it. More things are caught than taught.
Yep.
You want your girls, mom, to be good housekeepers? How are they going to know how to clean the house if they don't see you cleaning it? How are they going to know how to cook if they don't see you cooking? How are they going to know? And on and on we go. How are they going to know to be patient with somebody like their dad? If you're not. And let me tell you, they're going to run into plenty of people who just don't have the sweetest dispositions. And many a fella can't keep a good job because he never learned how to live with other people that don't think the way he wants to think. There's so much involved in, well, how am I going to know what all to do? This is how.
Amen.
Hopefully it won't take you as much work to get down there. And you think the getting down was fun? You wait till I go to get up. You get in prayer. You pray and ask God to help you to know what to do and how to do it with your kids. Your kids are unique. And God knows what they need, and He'll lead you. Other than that, you read. It's amazing. Things you can learn by reading. Reading books about being a parent. That doesn't mean you'll agree with everything they say, but you read books about being a parent, about being a wife, about, hey, man, read books about being a husband, books about being a father. I don't read. I know that's the problem. And that's going to work against you when it comes to your kids, and your kids are going to grow up and go their own way, and you're going to say, I don't understand it. I hope you remember this. Because Preacher Haynes told you that you might just find in a book what'll help you to be the kind of dad and kind of husband that you need to be. I talked with a lady today whose marriage is on the rocks. Looks like it'll end up in divorce. Had prayer with her. She's a Catholic lady. Oh, I don't know, you can pray with Catholics. Hey, that one's better than I thought it would be. She needed prayer. I'll let God sort out how it is that she's a Catholic.
Yes, sir.
She had a need. And I have a God who said He'll meet needs. Maybe she'll just be a little more open to a Baptist next time. He wants to talk to her about salvation. You know, we really can be very arrogant even when we don't make an effort at it. I had a veteran missionary who's in heaven right now. He said, you know, the biggest problem, Roger, with mission work, he said, it's being American. It's being American. Because we seem to think we know best. And we have a better way. And so he said, so many missionaries, they go into a country and they're certain that the American way is better. And he said, the nationals pick up on that real quick. And they might be polite, but they're not really open to listening because of the arrogant American. Well, you know, a lot of kids don't pick up on things, or kids don't listen because they pick up on the fact that the parent is arrogant. I've got two things to read to you here, and then we're going to close with two men praying. I read this to you last week, but again, some of you weren't here. Charles Francis Adams, he was a 19th century politician and a diplomat, and he kept a diary. And one day he entered in his diary, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. His son Brooke also kept a diary. And in that diary, on the same day, the son wrote, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. That man was a prodigal father.
Yep.
In regards to this life, I don't know how it went. I just read, that's all I read, is all that was clipped there. Here's a father's image. Now the years of age may vary, but the points in life are usually the same. At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. At 7 years, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. Now the kid's 12. My father does not know quite everything. He's 16. Oh, well, naturally, father does not know that either. At 19 years of age, oh, father, he's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21, oh, that man, he's out of touch. At 25, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. At 30, I must find out what Dad thinks. At 35, before we decide, we will get Dad's input. At 50 years of age, what would Dad have thought about that? At 60 years, my dad knew literally everything. And at 65, I wish I could talk it over with my dad once more. Men, whether you're a father now or will be a father, we need to remember it's a life that we're affecting. We relate dads and sons, mothers and daughters, but I realize I had daughters, I had a son. And so maybe you don't have any sons, maybe you don't have any daughters. It's a child. A child whose life needs to be molded for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us as fathers, yea, and grandfathers, to be the kind of men that our children and grandchildren need. For we pray in Jesus' name.